Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Takeda, we had the pleasure of speaking with Ibrahim T. Aldoss, MD, and Elias Jabbour, MD, about the use of ponatinib monotherapy after combination TKI and chemotherapy treatment in patients with newly diagnosed Philadelphia chromosome-positive acute lymphoblastic leukemia. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Aldoss and Jabbour discussed findings from a post-hoc subgroup analysis of the Phase 3 FALCON trial that support the use of ponatinib monotherapy following combination treatment with the TKI plus chemotherapy in patients with newly diagnosed Ph-positive ALL, safety considerations when using ponatinib in this patient population, and how findings from this subgroup analysis may affect transplantation rates in this disease.
I'm Ibrahim Aldoss from the Division of Leukemia Department of Hematology and Stem Cell Transplant at City of Hope in Duarte, California.
And my name is Elijah Ward of some MD Anderson and Houston.
We are speaking today about the post-hoc subgroup analysis of the FALCON study that I studied ponatinib monotherapy after combination with chemotherapy in patients with newly diagnosed Ph-positive ALL. So just to start with a bit of background, can you briefly describe the rationale and design of the FALCON trial?
The FALCON study is a Phase 3 international randomized trial comparing frontline low-dose intensity chemotherapy either with ponatinib or imatinib in newly diagnosed adults with Ph-positive ALL. The study randomized patient 2-to-1 ponatinib versus imatinib with rationale that ponatinib is a more potent TKI and it can overcome some of the high-risk mutations that usually resistant to imatinib and second-generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors. The study included 3 cycles of induction, chemotherapy plus TKI, followed by 6 cycles of consolidation chemotherapy and TKI, and then followed by 11 cycles of maintenance in combination with chemotherapy. So a total of 20 cycles before patients complete the study, with the kind of option based on the investigator discretion to continue TKI maintenance monotherapy alone. The primary endpoint was MRD negative CR at the end of the 3 cycles induction, and the study met the primary endpoint, and the MRD negative was superior in the ponatinib arm compared to imatinib arm. PFS was also superior. Overall survival and event-free survival data were not mature at the time of data analysis.
The study was designed to show that ponatinib is better, which is, I think, it's innovative in a way that endpoint was quite new and what the active CR was meant. We know the standard of care is once you start somebody on TKI chemotherapy and transplant, they're always a maintenance. And we know if you stop them, it's short, patient only lives. And what we've seen in the FALCON trial is that the patient do better for ponatinib, and we've seen at the long run the benefit of the drug and the safety, because people are concerned about that ponatinib being given a vascular event, and we have not seen a vascular signal at the long run.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from specifically from this post-hoc subgroup analysis here?
So there were 41 patients who actually initiated TKI monotherapy after they completing the total 20 cycles. The proportion of patients in the ponatinib arm who actually proceeded with TKI monotherapy was higher than imatinib, was 21% versus 9%. And we can see that the MR4 rates were actually higher in the ponatinib arm compared to the imatinib after completing 20 cycles, was 93% versus 71%, as well as the MR4.5 was higher as well. And for patients who had MR4 at the end of cycle 20, only 4% of patients in the ponatinib arm, they lost MR4 after starting cycle 21, and this is compared to 33% in the imatinib arm. And you can see that the MR4 was maintained at 12 months after starting the TKI monotherapy, both cycle 20 and 95% of ponatinib monotherapy compared to 67% of imatinib patients. The fact that more patients started monotherapy, ponatinib, it's a reflection that patient gain efficacy benefit where they actually completed consolidation maintenance, and the treating physician felt that they will benefit from continuing single agent TKI. In addition, that there are no major adverse events that they were able to maintain on the TKI all this duration, and they didn't actually proceed to transplant before the maintenance therapy.
What was the safety profile of this post-hoc analysis here?
As I said at the beginning, people were concerned about the safety of ponatinib. Two things we were, number one, yes, when we evolve, if we select patients who don't have active cardiovascular disease. Number two is we adjusted those from 30 to 15 to mitigate any problem with vascular event. And what we've seen so far, there was no increase in the rate of arterial could be event, but compared to imatinib, but on the other hand, we've seen no additional events, clinically relevant or significant. And that is give us some reassurance that pantobatamogran is not toxic while optimizing its efficacy. And of course, I would say we should always control risk factor for cardiovascular events on planetary, be it hypertension, lipidemia, or others.
When you look at the analysis in the abstract, that actually the grade 3 or higher treatment emergent adverse events were comparable between imatinib and ponatinib, as well as the vascular occlusive events, which is usually one of the main concerns when we give ponatinib. So it's proven to be safe even when you give it for a long time.
How might these findings help your colleagues determine optimal treatment plans for patients who have received 20 cycles of ponatinib plus chemotherapy just going forward from there?
You know, one of the concerns people have is, do I give ponatinib or tamoxifen? It's toxic. And as Dr. Others mentioned, there were no safety concerns, number one. Number two is you must maintain the DKI to preserve efficacy. And these are the two messages that you should learn from the study. One is it's really important to maintain the DKI. And the second thing is that we don't see the salvation of that person back.
Why is transplant sparing often a consideration in this newly diagnosed pH-positive ALL population? And how do you think these findings might affect rates of transplant sparing going forward in this population?
The issue with the transplant, again, is to be a standard of care for every adult with pH-positive ALL. But, I mean, the hope if we can cure these patients without transplant, we can avoid the risk of non-relapse mortality that is still significant with transplant. But I think what's more significant is the kind of adverse impact on patient quality of life who develop GVHD after transplant, being on immunosuppressive therapy for a long time. So definitely there's an interest if we can actually cure more patients without doing transplant in first remission in pH-positive ALL. And I think the data kind of support you can actually have durable remission for patients maintained on TKI. But again, I think the follow-up is still short. We need to have a longer follow-up to confirm that this MRD negative durability is real and with longer even use of TKI. Because I mean, the question comes always, how long you need to give TKI maintenance in pH-positive ALL if the patient doesn't go to transplant, and if 5 years maintenance TKI, will this increase the risk of cardiovascular event, vascular events? So I think we need to kind of have a longer follow-up on the study.
The study has established ponatinib standard of care. I'll still be very cautious about doing the cardiovascular factors. And moving forward, I think it's open door for combination with mainly therapy as we're doing right now. And as Dr. Others mentioned, in patients, you know, maybe good risk for MRD negativity, with that's prelude for transplantation and watch good.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Takeda. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.